Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning. He's holy. Yes, means he's pure, means he's perfect. But you know, the principal meaning of holiness means that there's absolutely no one other on earth or heaven above like him. He is completely other. He is completely set apart. He is completely segregated in that sense from all other creation. There is no one like our God. And so this morning, God, we honor you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we honor you because we know there's no one like you. Every other God is just a created thing in the imagination of man. But you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, creator of the universe. You are God. And we give you praise this morning. Church, the fact that he is God is what changes everything. It's why he's able to set you free, like my wife just earlier said. It's why depression has to flee. It's why finances get reordered. It's why bodies mend and heal. It's why all of those things take place. It's why we have breath for tomorrow. It all comes from the one source. God, creator of the universe, deliverer of mankind, healer of the nations. It's God. And one day, the ravages of sin, the power of darkness will be broken forever. And God will take every one who's called upon the name of the Lord and draw them unto himself. Those who have gone before and those who are walking the earth at the time of this happening. And we'll enter into an eternity with him that the Bible says there's absolutely nothing that we can use to even compare it. No words we have to describe what God wants to do in the culmination of all things. And in the meantime, what do? We trust and obey. We lean into him. We trust and obey. That's what we do. We just continue to lead other people to him, and we trust and obey him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the presence of Holy Spirit here today. And Father, we give you praise. We look forward to what you want to do here this morning. Father, the words that you want to speak, the encouragement you want to bring, Father, we unleash it today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I got to start off this morning by telling you about next Sunday. Everybody know next Sunday is Father's Day. Everybody say Father's Day. We have a special edition Desert Stream Father's Day next Sunday. And the centerpiece of next Sunday, the centerpiece of it all, will be this man named Mr. Mark Henshaw. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. And front and center with Mark Henshaw is going to be on his one side, this man named Bob Henshaw, who Mark has known for a few years. In fact, his whole life, because it's Mark's dad. And Mark's dad's going to be up here on the platform with us next Sunday. Put your hands together for that. Come on now. And Mark is going to be hemmed in on either side by his birth dad and a spiritual dad, me. And we're going to just pick on Mark the whole morning. It's going to be just great. We're going to get some into the Mark story pretty deep. But what we want to do is we just want to have an opportunity to show you what it looks like when you have the blessing of fatherhood in your life. And some of you had great birth fathers. You had great dads that just loved on you and who were able to be a guide to you and were able to encourage you. And you know what? And having a spiritual father takes absolutely nothing away from that, because what you'll find out next week is that the spiritual father and your physical father, if those relationships are healthy, they want the same thing for you. Are you hearing me? They want the same thing. But you know, here's also the good news. Supposing your birth dad just was not emotionally healed. He wasn't well enough to be there for you. You have a God who is. And you can have somebody in the spirit realm, a mentor, a spiritual father who can encourage you and can direct you toward him as well. All of that's going to come out next Sunday. We're so excited about it. And it's good to have Mark's parents are going to be with us, and it's going to be a great day. Do not miss it. I know you got, well, I got plans Father's Day. Do them after the service. You know, go get steak, do whatever you got to do, but don't miss out on what's going to happen here next Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited about today because, you know those stories I've been telling you about? We have one of those stories today. And coming to share up with us today is one of the daughters of the house that we've known. We've had the privilege of walking with for many, many years. And what God has done in her life is absolutely amazing. And I am going to welcome up to the podium right now, Charmaine. Would you come on down? Woo! Yeah! Praise the Lord. All right, I'll make you a microphone here.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I was really privileged and honored to come up today when Kevin asked me to share my story and my journey of financial wisdom as I've been in this church for quite a long time and have grown and changed since I've been here. So here's a little bit of my story. When I first came to church 25 years ago, hold on, I need my glasses.
Welcome to the club.
Right? It's the best part of me, I'm Mima now, right? When I first came to the church 25 years ago, my life looked very different than it does today. I was a young single mom in my early 20s, trying to survive and raise my children the best that I could. Financially, those years were hard. I worked 3 jobs, constantly hustling just to keep the lights on, pay the hydro bill, put the food on my table, and make sure my kids had what they needed. And I say kids, most people believe that I only have one. I have a stepdaughter as well, who I claim my own, and about 80 other kids that I absolutely love and adore. At the same time, I was putting myself through school because I believed that there had to be something better ahead for my future and the future for my kids. I remember many nights feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, stretched beyond what I thought I could handle. But even in those seasons, God was faithful. One thing I have learned is that provision doesn't always look like abundance in the beginning. Sometimes provision looks like just enough strength for one more day. Sometimes it looks like unexpected opportunities, favor, wisdom, and simply the ability to keep on going. There was even a season where I worked extra jobs just so my daughter could have her horse. Looking back, I realized those sacrifices came from a mother's love, but also from the belief that God would continue to provide as I remained faithful and obedient. The scripture that carried me through those years was, "And God, and my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. I held on to those promises tightly because there was many days where I truly didn't know how things were going to work out. Now at 51, I'm in a completely different season. My children are grown, I'm an empty nester, and God is teaching me something new about finances. For years, survival required constant striving, working hard and harder. But now I am leaning into stewardship, investing wisely, planning for the future, and understanding that rest can actually be part of obedience. That was not something for my story. Rest was not something I do well. I was always striving and hustling for my worthiness, and my worthiness stands right where he is. I still work hard, and I always will. But my mindset has changed. I no longer live from a place of survival. I am learning to live from a place of wisdom, peace, and trust. Another scripture that has become very meaningful to me is, "Honor God with your wealth and the first fruits of all your increases." That's Proverbs 3:9. What I've come to understand is that generosity doesn't always come from excess. Some of the most generous seasons of my life were when I had very little. Giving taught me to trust God beyond what I could see in my bank account. Today, I can honestly say that every season taught me something. Struggle taught me to be perseverant, to persevere. Responsibility taught me discipline. Motherhood taught me sacrifice. And faith taught me that God sustains us. I am still learning, I'm still growing, but I am grateful that through every stage, from exhaustion and survival to stability and wisdom, God has remained faithful. And if there's one thing that I could encourage you today, is that God honors faithfulness over perfection. Perfection's a lie. If we continue to trust him, steward what we have wisely, and remain obedient, he will carry us through life and every season.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask you right now, put your hands out like this, and I'm going to ask Charmaine to just pray a release of what God has taught her into your hearts. And you just put your hands out and just say, I receive to yourself and to the Lord. Just do that right now as Charmaine prays.
Lord, I just thank you Lord, for the abundance that's already raining down. That our fear of looking inferior and our fear of looking like, oh, we don't have it all together. There are people in here that are just that much more advanced than we are. Go to them. Be humble. Put yourself at their feet. I didn't learn these things just from doing it by myself. I'm not two anymore. I do it myself. No, we need each other. I haven't learned what I've learned without the sacrifice of other people giving into my life. Their prayer, their time, their finances. We just thank you, Lord. Humbly come to those people in here because they want to be with you because God is in their hearts to share. They're not greedy. They want to share and accept it from them. We just thank you because that abundance, if I take one piece of the pie, there's another piece coming. There is never lack. There is always abundance. So go and take it and bring it in and take it and then give it out. We just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. You just stay here for one more second, Charmaine. Just
stretch your hands out towards Charmaine this morning. Let's pray blessing over her. Father, we thank you for this story. This is a great story of your redemption, of your healing, of your power, and of your strength to take us through every season of life. And Father, if we'll trust you, here's a living testimony to the fact that if we'll trust you, that you will take care of every area of our heart and our life, that you will not abandon us, you will not leave us, you will not forsake us. And thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We pray continued blessing on Charmaine. We pray, Father, that you would give her opportunity to share her story in greater detail and in greater seasons of situation and challenge for others, Lord, to bring them through into blessing. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your incredible daughter here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Someone say that's good preaching. You better believe it. Praise the Lord. Well, I got something else to tell you. In 2 weeks, we're going to have another story of a couple who's going to come up and share with us. And just to whet your appetite on that one, all right? That last fall, August, they came to my wife and I needing some help. They needed encouragement. They needed a plan. And they were suffering under a mountain of debt. Since then, God has miraculously helped them. Are you ready for this? They've paid off $71,000 in debt since August. Woo! It can be done. I won't just share the rest of the story. I just want to whet your appetite. That's in 2 weeks. We're going to have that, and it's going to be exciting, and God is going to just rock your world. If you'll just trust him, God is able. Everybody say, God is able. He is. He is able. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you won't hear the story unless you come, because it's not going to get live streamed. We're going to do it at the end. You won't hear it unless you're here. So, hey, that's just another bonus of being in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I'm just moving, as I have the last few weeks, from stewardship, which we've heard a lot about, into talking about generosity. And this morning, my focus is very, very simple, talking about the law of the harvest. I want you to know that you are blessed when you give, that is the law. You know, we hear a lot about we're not under law, we're under grace, but there is still a law that's in operation today, and that's the law of the harvest. And what the law of the harvest teaches us is that we are blessed when we give, and we're going to take a deep dive into that. And as I begin, let me just have a few little caveats to this. We don't give to get, right? If that's your motivation, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to come in here, and you're treating the church like a casino. If I just put down 100 on red, I'm going to get, you know, 1,000 back, you know? We do not give to get, right? But we do receive because we give. That's just the nature of God.
But that's not our motivation. Bible says that God searches the thoughts, the motivations of the heart. So we don't give to get, but the bottom line is that when we give, we receive. Someone say amen. All right. Secondly, this. Whether we give out of principle or whether we give out of passion, both of those are blessed by the Lord. The Lord blesses us when we give. Whether we're giving out of some principle that we operate on, like tithing, or whether we're giving because God spoke to us and we just had a word from the Lord, either way, God blesses when we give. Someone say amen. All right. Thirdly, you need to understand you can't possibly outgive God. All right, this is something that has to be understood before we go any deeper. You cannot outgive him. It's impossible. How many know that he owns everything, right? And you're only stewarding it anyway. So how in the world can you outgive him, right? And finally this. Giving reflects the condition of the heart. So when we give, it's a reflection. It's a mirror of our heart. So you have to understand these basic things before we take a deep dive into talking about this further this morning. Let's go to our text today. And the Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Praise the Lord. This is what we call the law of the harvest, and it's a kingdom principle. The law of the harvest is a kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle. This is an aspect of God that we have not talked too much about. We've focused most of our time on stewardship and just started to talk about generosity, but I wanted to take a deep dive into this morning. I want you to understand the principle of the law of the harvest, this kingdom principle, is that when we give, we're blessed, period. There is no, well, sometimes. No, every time. When we give, we will be blessed. We're blessed in many different ways. Let me put those up on the screen for you. We're blessed when we give because we receive the joy of being an instrument to bless others. How many enjoy that? You know, when you give a friend a gift, how much it just lights you up to see them get lit up? Well, that happens over and over again. The more generous you are, the more people's lives you touch, the more you get to be part of that experience. And it's fun to watch people's lives get lit up because of blessing that you've been able to sow into them. Someone say amen. We all also experience the pleasure of our Heavenly Father. He delights when we do good things. When we reflect his nature, when we're like him, and we're like him, we're never more like him than when we give, then that delights the Father as well. When we give, we get to witness the impact that our generosity has on those who receive. What I mean here is not the way their face lights up initially, but how their life is transformed. That when, you know, I know when we were once given a car. We were right on the verge of going out to buy a car, a new car, because ours was absolutely done. And then someone called us up, said they wanted to go to dinner with us, and they were moving, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, they want to have a farewell dinner with us because they're moving to the States. And then we sit down with them, and they hand us this box, and we open it up, and there's a key to their Jeep. It was only a four-year-old Grand Cherokee Limited. And we said, oh, you want us to drive your Jeep down for you so that, you know, you guys can fly, or what's this about? And they said, no, we're giving it to you. And that gift transformed our lives. From that day forward, we were not scrambling with vehicles. God had, because we continued a path of stewardship, now we'd been given this opportunity, that now our life with respect to vehicles was completely changed. The rest of our lives, we were able to, you know, buy vehicles that were newer. We were able to have the money saved up for the vast majority of that vehicle. We were in a different position because we now started with a clean slate with something that only had like 50,000 kilometers on it. We had zero debt on it. Someone say amen. And God did that. And we've been looking at cars the week before, and I said, what would you have done if we'd went out and bought a different car last week? And they said, well, we would have just felt we missed God, and we'd have given it to somebody else. Missed it by that much. How many know that's a good thing? Amen? So you just have to listen to the Lord. Don't always be, you know, diving into debt to try and help him out, right? Listen to the Lord and let him do the work. Someone say amen. And finally this. We're also blessed financially by God when we give. So how are we blessed? These are many different ways in which we are blessed. And God financially blesses you when you give. And this was revealed in numerous scriptures. However, it's nowhere more clear than in our passage here today in Corinthians. The entire verse that you see this morning, And the whole conversation around it in 2 Corinthians is all about taking up an offering. If you just dive into it, the whole thing's about this offering that Paul had spoken to them about, and they had made a huge commitment. I don't know what that commitment was, but a massive commitment to giving the offering. And the offering was so big that Paul was sending, Titus and some people ahead of time to get things arranged, to make arrangements for the offering so that when Paul came, he'd be able to take it and deliver it to Jerusalem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the whole thing was in the context of an offering. The whole thing. It was in the context of giving. And there's a kingdom principle that Paul taps into when he starts talking about giving that I think we cannot ignore in this scripture. And that's the law of the harvest. As Paul said, whoever sows generously will reap generously, or whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. This is the law of the harvest. Now you might say, well, yes, but it isn't always talking about money. You're right. The principle is repeated numerous times in scripture, right? In Galatians chapter 6, Paul ties the principle of the harvest to your lifestyle, right? He says, the one who sows to the sinful nature will of the sinful nature, reap corruption. But if he sows generously, right, to the fruits of the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. So that in our own flesh, in our own, life, the principle of sowing and reaping is there. And then in Luke, Jesus ties the same principle of sowing generously, reaping generously, sowing sparingly, reaping sparingly, to forgiveness. And he says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you forgive generously, you also will be forgiven. So yeah, the principle's there. So what does that teach us? Well, that teaches something. It teaches us this. The more widespread a principle is, the more it's settled in heaven. So the fact that it applies to our lifestyle, the fact that it applies to forgiveness, the fact that it applies to these other things doesn't take away from the fact that it applies to our finances. No, no, no. It actually entrenches it more deeply, because when a principle is repeated and applied over and over again in Scripture, it only settles it more in heaven. That means that this principle of harvest is applicable in virtually every aspect of your life. Are you hearing me this morning? And so it's settled in heaven for us. The principle is settled in heaven. So Paul, as I said, he made this statement in the context of an offering. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And he was admonishing the church when he said that to be prepared to give in an offering. And so if you understand it in its context, then you understand today that what we're talking about is financial sowing and reaping. We're talking about the law of the harvest applying to finances. And Paul had went throughout Asia Minor bragging about how bold the Corinthians were and what they were going to give. And then he actually says to them, now I'm sending the boys ahead to collect the offering, and be ready, because I don't want you to be ashamed or us to be ashamed that we went around bragging about you and you didn't come through. That's basically what he says. You can read it. It's all in there. Not making this up. That was the conversation that Paul was having. Obviously, this was a big offering. Everybody say big offering. Big offering. It was a big offering. And so Paul reminds them that if they'll give generously, though, that they'll also reap generously. That's a fascinating truism. And so let's just take a little bit deeper dive into this law. So first thing you have to understand, there's two sides to the law of the harvest. There's quality and there's quantity. Everybody say quality. Everybody say quantity. All right. What do I mean by this? These are two immutable truths about the law of the harvest that are evidenced in all of nature and creation, but are also true when it comes to our finances. So what does that look like? All right. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So the first thing you learn about the harvest is everybody should know, and every farmer understands, every farmer knows, is that the quality of the harvest, what you reap, is based on what you sow. Right? Does everybody get that? So, if you sow corn into the ground, you aren't going to get peas. Seems kind of self-evident, but it's true. Right? If you sow wheat, you're not going to reap barley. If you sow apple seeds, you don't get a pear tree. Right? You see, the harvest, the quality, the nature of what you reap is directly tied to what you sowed. That's one of the aspects of the law of the harvest. So in other words, by design, the nature of what you sow is exactly what you reap. So whatever you put in the ground, that's what you get back out of it. All right? Does that make sense to everybody? If I'm talking too fast, say, slow down, Pastor. All right? But this is, I think this is important for us to understand. So the nature of the harvest is clear. What you sow into the soil, right, is what you get out of the soil. And this is just as true of money. That's why it's understand how I understand these principles are universally applied, because it's just as true of money. If we sow money, we will receive money back. All right, now, it's also true of quantity. The quantity, this is an important aspect of the law of the harvest. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, Paul said, will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. All right? The other half of the law is this. And I think, again, everybody should know this, but every farmer can tell you that it's true. That what we put in the ground, we get more back. Right?
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? What you put in the ground, you get more back. If that wasn't the case, we'd all starve to death. Right? If what we put in the ground, we just got the same amount back, how many know there'd never be anything to eat, because you'd just be perpetuating a harvest all the time. I put it in the ground, I got the same thing back. I put it in the ground, I got the same thing back. No. You have then seed to sow and you have seed to live on. What you put in the ground produces enough so you can do both the next year, right? So in other words, the quantity aspect of the law of the harvest is this, is that you always get back more than you put in. Are you hearing me? And if you don't believe that, talk to a farmer. They'll explain it to you. And they'll talk real slow just so you'll get it, right? How many have ever cut open an apple? Five chambers inside an apple. And there's one or two seeds in every chamber. So an apple has between 5 and 10 seeds inside an apple, typically, right? And so that's what's in an apple. But how many apples are in a seed? If you drop those seeds into the ground and it turns into a tree, and then years later that tree produces a harvest, you'll reap off that one tree thousands of apples over its lifetime. So there might be five to 10 seeds in an apple, but there's thousands of apple in a seed. That's the law of the quantity of the harvest at work. That's the way it happens and the way it works. Someone say amen. All right. So, summary of that point is this. By design, you reap even more than you sow. By design, everybody say that. By design, you reap even more than you sow. So you got to say it better than that. By design, you reap even more than you sow. So true. I'm going through this pretty quick this morning, but I think you're getting it. Hallelujah. Third point this morning. I want to talk about the eternal nature of the harvest. Now, one thing you need to understand about eternal. Eternal doesn't mean something goes on forever. Did you know that? Eternal means something that was and is and goes on forever. So when we talk about God has put eternity in the hearts of men, he's put on that which has always been, that which is, and which will go on forever. He puts that into the hearts of mankind. And you have to understand, when we talk about the law of the harvest, it's an eternal principle. It's a principle that has always been, is, and will always be. All right? So let's look at this passage this morning, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. In the beginning, back in the earliest parts of the Bible, it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Shall not cease. What does that tell us? It says this, how old is the law of the harvest? It's as old as creation itself. When God created everything, the Bible says, and he stood back, he looked at it, and he said, it is good. He created everything in creation with the law of the harvest written into its DNA, that it would be able to go forth and multiply after its kind. This is written right into creation. It's written into every living thing that you see around you. The law of the harvest is an eternal law that is written into everything that we see and observe around us. Does everybody follow what I'm saying this morning? All right, secondly, How reliable is the law of the harvest? How reliable is it? Well, the Bible says in Genesis it was as reliable as cold and heat in summer and winter. My goodness, are you not glad that spring was reliable and it finally showed up after that winter? Woo! And you're like, oh, praise the Lord for some sunshine. Hallelujah. But you knew it was coming. Even though it was dark and depressing and long, you knew that spring was still coming, right? Because why? You know it's there because it goes back to the beginning of time, that there are seasons, there is cold, there's warm, there's heat, there's all of these things, and it's written into the DNA of the world right from the beginning. That's how reliable the law of the harvest is. It's as reliable as the changing of the seasons. It's as reliable as everything you see, as the sun coming up and the sun going down. That's how reliable the law of the harvest is. How long will the law of the harvest last? For eternity. It shall not cease. The law will continue tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. It'll be here next year. It'll be here 100 years from now. Should Jesus tarry, it will always be in operation. The law of the harvest is a law that God has written into human existence, into the existence of our planet, just like gravity. It's not Mosaic law. It is more foundational than that. It is written into the way the world works. The law of the harvest is written into how the world works. Someone say amen. This is what the scripture teaches us. So let me conclude with this. The only thing that is lacking many times and why we're not seeing the law of the harvest operating in our life is we need to step out in faith. The only thing that God requires of you to operate the law of the harvest in and through your life the same way he does through a wheat field or an apple tree. Only thing required in your part, because you're different than an apple tree. You get to make choices. The apple tree doesn't. It just grows apples. It can't decide, I think I'll grow pears this year. Nope, it doesn't get to do that. But you have choices. And that choice is what makes you a son or a daughter of God, made in his image. You get to choose, but you have to exercise that choice in faith in order to see the law at work in your life. You have to choose to be a reproducing member of God's harvest law. You have to choose. Someone say amen. Say, I get to choose. You get to choose. Now, some will say to me, and I've had people say this, that, you know, yes, God will pour a blessing on you when you're generous, but the blessing that Paul was, you know, referring to isn't just financial. It's to be experienced in all kinds of other ways. And I would say, you're right. There are many ways in which we will be blessed when we give, right? There are many ways. But make no mistake about it, the way that Paul was talking about here in Corinthians was financial. I don't want to burst your bubble, but it plain and simple was. And how do you know that? Well, let's dig a little deeper into this passage. Paul says this in verse 10. So he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, who's he talking about here? He's saying God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And you might say, well, see, it's of your righteousness. It's not talking about money, it's talking about righteousness. Really? Because read on, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be what? Generous. That you can be generous on every occasion, and that through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. That what God wants to bless you with and result as of the law of the harvest is finances so that you will have more seed to sow and you'll have more supplied for your needs so that you can be generous on every occasion. Everybody say generous. God wants you to be able to be generous. It's just that simple, folks. That, you know, I can't seem to stress this enough for you, that God desires you to be blessed, and he desires that you to be blessed so that you can be generous. God will increase the store of your seed. And back in those days, when they received a harvest, they would take a certain amount of the grain, and they would put it in a bag, and they'd hang it in the barn, and that would be reserved, set aside, so that they could go out and sow it again next year, right? And that's why there's one of the psalms says, they that sow in tears will now reap in joy. What does that mean? It's because in a year when they've had a bad drought or whatever, you know, it's tempting and they didn't get enough to eat. It's tempting to go touch that bag of seed and say, we have a whole bag of seed in the barn. And we could just make, we could make flour out of that right now. We could eat today if we just took that seed. But no, that seed was to be sown so that the next year there'd be a harvest, right? And so many times, you know, if there was a drought or difficult year, they sowed in tears, but they reaped in joy when months later the harvest was reaped. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? And so we have the opportunity this morning to sow financially and reap financially, and that we have the opportunity to take that same step of faith where we look at it and we go, if, you know, if I sow, I don't know how I'm going to get ahead, but when I sow, I'm able to then reap in joy. That when I sow, sometimes even in tears, even in difficulty, I sow, but I'm able to reap in joy. Now, I've said this many times before, that I don't believe you give your way out of debt. I believe you stewardship your way out of debt. But I believe you'll never experience blessing until you learn how to be generous. You will just sit as somebody who's struggling along, you know, keeping the bills paid, hoping that the lights stay on and everything else, and you'll just stay there. You'll never experience blessing until you learn how to be generous. And once you learn how to be generous, then it's like God says, now I can open up the taps. You know, at first, you're struggling, you can't even pay your bills because your whole lifestyle is not managed. It's not disciplined. It's not, you've got, as the Bible says, you have bags and you want God to give you more food, more supply, but the bags have holes in it. So until you sew up the hole, until you fix that, God can't pour in the resources you need to get out of debt. So we always tell people, figure out how much debt you're in. Figure out where you're at. You know, write it all down. Set targets for yourself. Then when the money comes in, you can apply it to where you know it needs to go. But once you get that debt paid down, start to get it managed, you need to start stepping into a lifestyle of generosity if you want to experience the favor of God over your finances. Because if you sow sparingly, you will rest of your life what? Reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, you will reap generously. That's what the law of the harvest is telling us. And so he said, God will supply an increase to your store of seed. In other words, he'll give you more money to sow and to give away. And he will also increase your harvest. So you'll have more to eat. You'll be able to sit down, you know, like Mark Henshaw, and just have steak every night. And just, you know, living off the bounty of the land over there in the county, you know, and just enjoying it. And as Mark would say, you know, I only eat by myself and with other people. That's it. Otherwise, he doesn't bother. And it's his favorite thing to do is to sit down and eat with people. Amen, Mark. And so, but you know what? You get both. God is able to multiply both. Not only what you have to sow, but what you have and you that you get to operate and live on. God multiplies both. And he does it why? So that you can be generous. So you can be generous. That's what Paul tells us. He's doing it so that you can step out and be generous. And not just once, but on every occasion. You know, one of the things I love to do is that I like to give in just about every offering we take up. You know? And it doesn't matter what it's for. It's like, yeah, I can give to that. I can give to that. And you know, I just like to be able to participate in it. And even if it's a small amount, you know, maybe my giving's already, you know, tapped out or what, I still like to give. I like to give every time there's an opportunity. I like to be a blessing. I'm like, for me, it's like, I want to be a part of that, right? I want to tap into some of that. Does that make sense to everybody? And this is a promise that I have from the Lord that when I give, then it's going to come back to me, that God's going to bless me in return. It's an incredible promise. If you live generously, God will be generous with you. Are you hearing me this morning? But it all hinges on this one simple thing. Faith. Do you trust God? This is the big question he's asking every one of us sitting here this morning. It's what he asked Charmaine years ago when she started this journey. He just simply said to her, do you trust me? Can you just take your life and place it in my hands and let me, over time, rebuild this so that the person you become doesn't look like anything where you started? And you have to just be able to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. And this couple that came to us last fall, they just had to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to put these principles to work and I'm going to see what God can do. But you have to have faith. You have to trust him. It all takes faith.
We have to step out and trust him. One day, hot July day, farmer sitting out on the front deck, smoking his old cob pipe. Along comes a stranger and he says to him, "How's your cotton coming?" Farmer says, "Ain't got none." He said, "Didn't plant any." He said, "I was afraid of the boll weevil." Oh, so then the stranger says, "Well, how's your corn coming?" He goes, "Didn't plant none of that either." He said, "I was afraid of the drought." Oh, he goes, "Well then," he said, "Well, how's your potato harvest coming?" He goes, "Didn't plant any taters either." He didn't plant any of those either. He said, "I was afraid of those, tater bugs." He goes, "Wow." So finally, he looked at the farmer and he goes, well, what did you plant?" The farmer answers, says, "I played it safe. Didn't plant nothing." Played it safe. Didn't plant nothing. And, so many people in the body of the Christ, that's exactly what they're like. "I played it safe. I didn't bother planting anything." Good. And, there is no way God can bless what we haven't put in the ground. If you don't sow it, there's nothing for him to multiply. If you don't take the step of faith, you're like the silly farmer sitting on the porch, playing it safe, not planting anything. And your harvest will be exactly zero. And so I encourage you this morning. I encourage you this morning. Don't play it safe. Step out in faith. Trust the God of the harvest. The God of the harvest to follow the law of the harvest. That if you sow, you will reap. It's the law. And I'll end with the same verse I ended with last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. "Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Amen? I want you to stand with me this morning. And today, we've been talking about this for weeks. I think this morning we have to respond. I think this morning, it's time to step out. It's time to not be like that farmer, not to play it safe, but to say, "Lord, I want to step out. I want to be a person who's part of the harvest." And the only way you'll get to be part of the harvest is if you become a generous person. And there are so many ways in which we can give. And some of you, I understand it, money is tight or whatever, and you say, "Well, I'm going to give of my time." If you give of your time, then that will honor God, and people will be blessed, and you'll find that people will be willing to invest back in you. And that's great. And there's seasons in our life where we can give different things, but I also believe that in parallel with that, and even more as we get older and as we grow in Him and we see Him come through, we need to sow financially as well. We need to recognize that giving is at the corner of what God wants to do in and through your life. And I don't know how to be any clearer about it than I have been this morning, that this is the law of the harvest at work in you. And so if you're here this morning and you're saying, I want to start living a generous life. I want to tap into that kind of generous life. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be, Pastor. I want you to come right now to this front. Just come on up here and say, "Father, I want to be in that generous life. That's who I want to be." Come on up here. Don't be shy. Some of you that have never stepped out in this before, you need to come on up here this morning because God's going to meet you where your faith is. And if you don't step out, if you don't take the step, then God's not able to meet you. But if you take the step, God's going to meet you right where you are this morning. We need to get this activated by faith in people's lives. And so come on, press in, folks. And if you... We want to make sure we pray with you this morning. We don't want you to walk out of here not prayed for and not agreed with. Thank you, Lord. Because God wants to meet you right where you are by faith. That as you step forward and you say, "God, I want to be part of a generous lifestyle.
I want to be able to be a generous person. I want to be a solution. I want to be somebody, a conduit, a river through which you can flow your goodness to the world. That's who I want to be. Then you step up, and we're going to agree with you this morning so that God can do that in and through your life. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Praise the Lord.